Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Nation Builder. Okay, let me stop. Okay, I apologize for that. I want to welcome you again to the second part of our teaching, Shavat, the Season of Overflow and Activation. I am Prophetess Nava Michaels of Nava in the House of Sarah. This is my first talk with you. And I got cut off pretty quickly the first time. I was in mid-sentence there. I'm still getting used to all these bells and whistles that Blog Talk has to offer here. So I'm going to jump right back into what we're talking about. We're speaking of what the history of the Maserot and how it was passed down from Eber to Abraham, the patriarchs, down to King David and finally to his son Solomon. And it's said that even the Messiah himself studied in this particular understanding during his earth walk. So let's go forward. Each month of the Hebrew year carries with it a corresponding color, a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, as we said, the constellation. One of the 12 tribes of Israel, a sense and a controlling organ. And this knowledge and understanding, as we said, has been passed down for thousands of years, beginning with Adam and Abraham and Eber. On today, Shavuot is the month that we're speaking of. It's the 11th of the 12 months of the Hebrew calendar. And we're looking at a month connected to overflow and activation. And it embodies, Shavuot embodies what the new moon is about in general. Rosh Hodesh literally means new head. Hodesh is new and Rosh is head. It's a renewal, a refreshment of consciousness. It's what the eye and ear gate spiritually perceive and the mouth releases in each citizen, in each season, each season, I apologize. To citizens of the kingdom, the calendar is more than a measure of time. It's a cycle that embodies the various elements of a woman's relationship with the Father that are the essence of our lives. And this cycle has two basic parts. We have the spiritually passive season of the sun, where we mark and we experience our Father's acts of involvement in our lives, and we would understand that to be the spring feast. And the second part to the calendar cycle is the self-generated seasons of rains, which opens with soul-searching and self-improvement, which characterizes Tishri. And that, of course, will be the going into the fall seasons, the fall feasts. So as the moon is born, there emerges with it something radically different from what was there before. On Rosh Hodesh, you have the whole month contained. Just as the head contains the entire body inside, so too the whole month is contained in the first day. The latent potential that's revealed, much like an embryo, where the head is first revealed, and from there we have the limbs and the organs, et cetera. So we're moving from a place of nullification, as we see from our previous month of Tevet, to activation and overflow, which is the latent potential immaturity to a furthering of that divine light to those around us. So the ancient sages said, when one meets a water carrier carrying pitchers full of water, it's a sign of blessing. And we call it the Sadiq. The Sadiq is considered the true manifestation of a water carrier. And we are in that season of receiving nourishment from above and from below. What the Father has decreed that each month would contain, what our sages have hunted and presented, and what we ultimately draw from them. It's a season of overflow. Now, water refers to Torah, and the month of Shavuot is referred to as the new year for the study of Torah. So when people tell you, you know, I hear a lot of our brethren say, you know, to watch out for the pagan new year. Well, I can understand that, and I'm definitely in understanding of that, and I'm definitely in agreement. Yet when we study, we need to study to show ourselves approved, because in actuality, there are actual four new years. And the new year that we're in right now is, as I said, the study of Torah. It's also the new year of the trees, or Tu B'Shavat. So the eating of the fruits of Shavat corresponds to the partaking of and integration of the sweet fruits of Torah wisdom. So the two actually go together. And so the waters of Shavat represent the sweet waters of Torah. Now, this month brings also with it latent sanctity or latent holiness into what would otherwise be considered mundane things. We're told and we are supposed to know Elohim in all of our ways. Praying and meditating is a beginning, but to partake of that impartation that we receive from Him who is the source of light, and extend it to each part of our lives and on into the lives of others. Shvatim, in which Shvat comes from, means 12 tribes, as we've already established earlier. And when we speak of latent holiness, of sanctity in this regard, we're speaking of reassessing who's who in Israel, who are your connections, how you've been watered, and who has watered you and who you are used to water. We need to position ourselves as leaders. And when I say leaders, I'm talking not just of teachers and shepherds and prophets and apostles, but in essence, as Israel, we are leaders to receive prophetic alignment. We need to position ourselves to allow overflow both to us and through us, just as in that, as we understand in the the bucket, as we understand Shvat to be a symbol of. A bucket both holds water. It's a container which receives the water, and it also is used to overflow. So we as Israel are to be that bucket to receive the water of life, the water of our Father, of His Word, of His power. But in essence, we're supposed to receive so much that we're supposed to flow off into others, okay? 1 year ago, Abba spoke to me saying that we need to find our places in His Word, in prayer, and in praise. And today's teaching is a fuller expression of that earlier order. What we need to do is we need to push into a higher dimension of fasting, higher dimension of prayer and study, as these three acts of worship actually precede our warfare. The time that we're in now, you know, we've always been in a time of, we've been born into a battlefield, but as we move further into Hayom, into the day of Messiah, things are going to positionally get worse and worse. And it's all the more reason why we need to position ourselves and find ourselves more in these three, in word, in prayer, and in praise. Not necessarily doing more in terms of quantity, but in quality. Now, this month is also an association with the sense of taste. We find from the 1st to the 15th of this month an extension or taking holiness and knowing Elohim even in our eating, to extend it out even into those so-called mundane things of eating. It's told that in the scriptures that Esau swallowed the red lentil stew whole without tasting it. And we may say, well, that's really gross, but in essence, that's what we do as well as a people. We tend to eat without truly tasting our food. But we have to understand that there is a, and I'm speaking on a spiritual as well as natural level here, so hear me well. There's a certain holiness when we take the time to taste our food. When we take time in the Word, when we take time in prayer, and when we take time in praise, when we take time to truly taste our food, we have, in the natural, we have 32 teeth, and 32 has a numerical value of lev, or heart. So you must connect your heart to your eating. When we eat, we want to be mindful of the way in which we're eating. We also must be careful of what we taste spiritually. We must learn to inspect our food first, just as we hopefully we do in the natural. We don't, you know, I know my children don't like going to the store with me because I tend to read everything before I purchase it. But anyway, you know, there's a lesson in that as well, to stay on the parameters of a grocery store and not so much in the middle. But if you do go in the middle, you inspect your food first, okay? Even your produce, you want to pluck and squeeze and smell and, you know, just to make sure what you're getting is that which is of quality. You also need to watch what table you're eating from. So we need to also understand to be careful what we produce, to not let our flesh be our God. Our spiritual countenance begins to reflect what we're eating, just as in the natural. We need to be sure the food that we're served, be sure that the food is served with clean hands. In other words, as I said earlier, to be very careful who you're being fed from, to reassess this. We don't want to go around, especially on the Internet with this, the age of information, to go around and just have the habit of pulling from any and every source. It's our bodies and our souls are very much like sponges, and, you know, whether we're cognizant of it or not, we're taking in data on every level 24/7. So we have to be very, very careful of watching over our gates, over our ear gates, our eye gates over the guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, as Proverbs tells us. So also understanding that this month is associated with the tribe of Asher, which is considered happy, fortunate, and fruitful. And we need, again, to be a people of righteousness, of a people of good fortune, of people who bear much fruit. But all of that will come through how we position ourselves. And when we look back in the past year of 2013, depending on how well we fed ourselves, and how well we were fed and how well we fed others will determine where we are positionally today. So if we were in the position of being very careful of eating that which was organic and eating from the root, so to speak, then we should be in a very good place today. If not, then basically what we receive and what we've done, we have to eat the fruit of that particular choice, but there's always hope in our Messiah, hallelujah. We can always make changes. There's always hope. So it looks like I'm going to have to go into part three because my time is beginning to run out. I just want to say also that this month is also associated with the Hebrew letter Sadi, which is the same word which we use for a righteous person in the Hebrew called tzaddik. And from there we also get the word sayid, which means hunting. And our sages will go after and they hunt for these divine sparks. So and even bringing it into the realm of how we eat, as I stated earlier, as women of Israel, we are beneficiaries of that which has been passed down to us from our sages, from what they hunted, how they would spend hours upon hours opening themselves up to the Word and receiving the divine sparks. And even in the food that we eat, there is godliness. Now, Hebrew nutrition, and that's a whole new teaching, but Hebrew nutrition isn't just a bunch of molecules clumped together. Hebrew nutrition are actual divine sparks, and when we eat them, it moves up into the brain from the stomach, and it connects with our godly soul, and it maintains a connection with our soul and our body. As I said, that's a completely new level, another teaching that we can talk about at another time. But eating sustains life, and the righteous ones know this. They're hunting for those sparks. Okay. We're talking about holy and rectified eating, both on a natural level and on a spiritual level, in order to be positioned to be recipients of and vessels of blessing to others as well as to ourselves. Now, this period of Shavuot is one appropriate for fasting, which may seem contradictory because we had already established that Shavuot is the sense organ, is taste. So why is this season appropriate for fasting? Because in fasting, as we all know, it actually heightens our sense of taste. And often by withdrawing from something, I'm then enabled to re-enter it much more whole and mindful. Again, we're talking about rectified eating on a spiritual as well as natural level. It has more to do with how you eat than in what you eat. So it looks like I'm going to be able to finish this teaching today. I just want to say that I encourage us all to use that power that Abba has given to us within this month to be, as we call it, Shvat Ishvet, the tribe of Asher, which is happy, fortunate, fruitful, receiving, and pouring out blessings of holiness to those all around us. And I hope that everyone has been blessed by these teachings. Again, I'm Nava Michaels, and I welcome you back to our new broadcast called Nava in the House of Sarah. This is my first teaching, and I've thoroughly enjoyed taking this time and being the vessel of water, and I hope I've watered your soul today. Again, I just want to recap that as women, it's our calling to learn from the House of Sarah. It's incumbent upon us that we find ourselves in the right house, to also be in the right season and understand how important it is to maintain hearts of humility, that as it says in 1 Peter 3, that quiet spirit, because when you're quiet and when your heart is quiet, you're in a position to receive and to have downloaded into your heart in such a more way, a flowing way, than if you're, you know, noisy and uptight. So it's our heart. It's our benefit to understand who we are as women, and to know that we have a unique way of implementing and, as I said, of digesting these teachings that are passed down to us in accordance to our DNA and our spiritual and natural physiology, and to understand that we are hardwired as women to be nurturers, to be inclined towards the emotional and relational. And again, in this month of Shvat, how apropos that is, being that we understand, you know, what it's like to be carriers. You know, we carry our children both when they're in our womb and when they're outside of our womb, and we know how to flow. We know how to carry heavy loads, but we also know how to release those loads and to be a blessing to others. So we also learned that women are very much connected to nature, specifically the moon, how the moon itself is called a maid, and we understand the special relationship and our calling as women for each new month, how each phase, each characteristic in which the month holds, it corresponds, and how women play an integral part of creation in bringing forth, fleshing out in a very unique way, a feminine way, that message and that story, the duty of the respective month, how her efforts complement equally yet differently from her male counterparts. And we understand also the understanding of where what a Maserot is. A Maserot is basically a clock in the universe. It's a timepiece that lets us understand the signs, the seasons, the days and years for ourselves and for our families, and how it's incumbent upon us to take the time and to learn, to understand, and to begin implementing what each month holds. For it's not astrology; it's holy. It's a holy timepiece that's unique to us as Israel. And I just encourage each and every one of us to continue to understand that we are to be vessels of the Most High Elohim, that we need to be in a position of quietness, in a position of strength, in a position of reassessing all things, especially our connections, both in terms of who we're being watered by as well as who we are watering, and to be careful what table we're actually eating at. Very important, both naturally and spiritually, because our nature will take on what we have incorporated into our bodies, and there's a connection between our bodies and our souls. So what you do for one, you're in essence simultaneously doing for the other. So I just thank you again for taking the time to listen in today. And I'm going to at some point in time actually make this live so that we can have some callers in and, you know, have people ask questions and maybe even take some prayer requests, because that's part of what our ministry does. I act as a rabbinit for Congregation Beit Menucha, where I'm teacher and also intercessor. So that will be at another date, though, when I'll begin to give more information on that. But in the meantime, again, you can find me on Facebook under Nava Michaels, and also I have a page called House of Sarah, not Sarah Yehudis. So you can also find me there. I also have a social network called NatsariYehudis.spruce.com, NatsariYehudis, NatsariYehudis.spruce.com. And it's a quiet community right now, but it's okay. We're holding our own. And I would invite you all to come and help us build, because it's not about me. It's about Kulanu. It's about all of us coming together as those lively stones, as the scriptures tell us we are to be. So again, thank you all for listening in today, and I bless you all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.